Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock, fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera. So whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids. We all have families we want to take care of. And I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic. It's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sharing Wisdom. I'm your host, Angie Wisdom, and today's episode is all about success. Yep, you'll want to stay here and listen to this one, you guys. We're talking about what it takes to achieve success, how you define success, some of the common habits of the most successful people out there. And I've got the perfect guest for it. Scott Clary is the host of the Success Story podcast, one of the top 10 podcasts in the business area. I consider him to be a little obsessed with success, but in a good way, and we'll talk about that. He's actually the founder of The Social Club as well, where he puts business owners who have exited their companies together to create community and grow. So we've got a wealth of knowledge for you today, and we are going to lead you in the right direction to create that success. So let's get to it. Okay, Scott. So success is what we're talking about. And it's obviously the buzzword, especially I feel like right now, given kind of the economy and what people are trying to create. You have the Success Story podcast, which is one of the top rated podcasts out there. You get to sit down with people all the time and talk about success. So that's what we're digging into. And I want to know, like, right out of the gate, what is the biggest misconception people have about success?
I think the easiest misconception for most people to think about when it comes to success is that it's all tied to financial. Because, I mean, most people don't have the financial in place. It's difficult. It's hard. It's confusing. It's especially now post COVID when a lot of people got laid off. It's easy to think that, oh, if I just had money, and that's an easy, you know, sort of pathway to success. But what you do realize very quickly is if you just focus on money, you will have more comfort in your life, but there will be a lot of other things that can go wrong. So if you sacrifice your relationships for money, if you sacrifice your health for money, and I think that that's something that it's okay to pursue money and to build and to want to hit financial milestones, because again, it affords you a lot of opportunities. But the main takeaway is do not sacrifice everything in your life for money. And it may seem obvious, and everyone who has built something will tell you immediately that it's very easy to start to sacrifice things when you're pursuing money, because in the pursuit of a job that pays a significant amount or in the pursuit of building your own business, there will be a season of your life that is unbalanced. I don't think that balance is a goal that you are able to achieve for the entire time when you're building. So if you want to build a multi-million dollar, if you want to build a company that's worth tens of millions, hundreds of millions, if it ends up being, you know, you're in the 0.001% and you build something that's worth $1 billion, there'll be seasons of your life, parts of your life that are very unbalanced. It is just the way that it is. And you'll lose a lot of the other things that you should have tried to hold on to. So mm-hmm. I think really what success is understand your number, understand the amount of money that you actually need to make to enjoy life, to live in the city that you want, to afford your family the opportunity, the vacations, whatever it is. Because once you hit that number, then you'll realize that you should have paid more attention to your health, and you should have paid more attention to your family, and you're, you know, three divorces later, kids hate you. That's not a version of success that anybody enjoys. Right. So yeah. I think that I want more people to focus on the holistic version of myself included. It's not easy. It's like, it's very not, it's, I'm giving advice that I have to listen to myself sometimes because I also lack balance. But I think that if more people just ingrain in their head, like build while trying to build understanding that some things will suffer, but don't let them go completely. Because mm-hmm. it's impossible yeah. to maintain a balanced level across everything, but just don't let them go completely and be cognizant and aware of that, that it's going to be easy to let a lot of things go if you're not careful.
Yeah, I use the word modification all the time. You know, those other things that maybe you're out of balance because you are striving for that, you know, mm-hmm. multimillion, $100 million company, and you're going to go through a season where it's a little unbalanced, but it's like, modify those other pieces. Don't just mm-hmm. throw them away completely. I'm curious, like, did you used to have a different definition of success? Is this coming from a personal experience of how you used to define it versus now?
It's a good question. I think earlier on in my career, success, my version of success has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. When I got my first job, my version of success was director or VP in a company. And then when I started building my own companies, then success is how much can I sell this company for? And what's the total value that I can put when I exit it? And then when you do that once, then the second company becomes, okay, well, how can I beat the first one? So, mm-hmm. Like there's no end, right? There's no end to the game. Even in these like little micro circumstances of defining success, when you first start posting on social media, you're talking about, you know, the podcast I built and like the personal brand, you want to get to 10,000 followers and, you know, 1,000 downloads when you're hitting nothing. And then you hit 1,000, like the version yeah. keeps changing. And then also, then you get into serious relationships, and then the version of success starts to include family and kid. And then you see that your parents are getting older, and the version of success now includes getting closer to them when they're mm-hmm. not as young as they used to be. So yeah, it changes. It changes constantly. It changes constantly. And I think that's okay. I think that's healthy. I think that's mm-hmm. also why I think it's okay to want to change your version of success as you mature and you grow as a person. And I think that it's actually more of a red flag if your version of success isn't changing, because mm-hmm. I feel like you're not expanding yourself as a human again. And success mm-hmm. is not just equated to wealth. I would say there is a problem if wealth, career, business success doesn't change, because I think it's also important to change your goals there and to continue to push yourself. But I think that it will always change throughout your life.
Yeah, it reminds me, as you're saying this, what comes up to me is like almost your value system. I talk to clients so much about, you got to have your values, and your values can change through different seasons of your life. There goes my earbud. Your values can change through different seasons of your life transitions, right? Like yes. you bring in the kids or you get a company. So is that something that you use? You know, do you go by values for yourself of understanding, you know, what's most important to you and what you're tuning into?
Yes, 100%. And I think that mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people have values that are maybe tied to old relationships in their life, old friend groups, old versions of who they are. And it's tough to upgrade your values and to grow as a person, because other people may not enjoy the fact that you're changing your version of success mm-hmm. or you're changing your values, because it's changing who you are in their eyes. And I think that a lot of people live their entire lives with a value system mm-hmm. or a definition of success that is completely tied to other people's perception of who they should be. And I believe that holds a lot of individuals back. And I'll give you an example. I mean, my parents are incredible people, but they are not entrepreneurs. So they don't necessarily aspire to the same things that I aspire to, which is fine. And that's mm-hmm. that's normal. But a lot of people may, and we've maintained a good relationship, having different value systems in life. But I think that people go one of two ways. They either allow themselves to hold on to values that like maybe their old peer group or their old friend group or their parents subscribe to, and they don't let themselves grow and evolve, or they assume that growing and evolving means completely killing those relationships off, which I also don't think is a healthy thing. Now, listen, if somebody is toxic and they're not supporting your goals, that's a different story. But I think that there is an in-between where you grow as an individual while you still maintain the relationships with the people that would always support and love you, even if those goals and those values and those definitions of success are slightly different. I think that's we're talking about versions of success. That is a version of success in my mind.
Right. That's a huge problem for people that I see anyways, is especially because I'll get them in these growth phases where they're initially starting to go, gosh, you know, but none of my friends are like this. And they're kind of wanting to be around different people, not because they're toxic, but because maybe your conversation isn't as fun, or they're not as, you know, forward looking and as growth mindset oriented. So when you come into that, and I think this kind of talks too about like you have the social club, about surrounding yourself, and you say like you don't think you have to go kind of cleaning house and getting rid of people. What does it look like to start putting those people in your space and surrounding yourself, but not alienating everyone else who you're with?
Well, so some people, some friends alienate because they will not support you and your goals, and that's okay. And I think that you have to understand, I think that friends and family can be put into two different categories for most people. Family will be around for forever. Some friends don't grow with you. Some friends support you and don't grow with you. And those are the ones that I would still keep around regardless. Those are the kinds of friends that you spend years, you know, you move to different cities, but you can message them anytime and you can go out for a drink or a coffee and it's like no time has passed. Like they're friends that are non-contingent or conditional on like where you're at in life, because you just connect at such a great deep level. Those are the people you keep around for forever. And yes, maybe it's not maybe you're not seeing those people every single week, but it's fine, because again, you can still see them every single 6 months or every year and a half. Like they're friends that are lifelong friends. Those are the people that are always going to support you no matter what, and vice versa. So the people that will have the heaviest impact on you are the people that you sit down with, you know, two, three times a week, two, three times a month. Those people, I do believe, have to be, I would say the majority of those people have to be either where you're at or a few steps ahead for growth-minded individuals, because these people will now be, these people will be an aid. They'll be helpful in getting you to the next level and supporting you in your development, business, personal. So I think that you have to be strategic about the people that you surround yourself with every single day, because they will have the biggest impact and influence on you. So that's something that I do subscribe to. Like if you are, again, it's fine to spend time with friends every month, 2 months, maybe 3 months, 4 months that are happy with their life and their job and their career, and that's no problem. But I would not be going out drinking with like high school, university, college friends like three nights a week, because that's valuable time that you're allocating to people that are not pushing you to be better. Right. So I think that that's so where people get it screwed up. People are very all or nothing. It's like, if I can't drink two, three nights a week, then I'm never going to see this person again. That's not a normal relationship. So two, three nights a week, spend it with people that are, again, at your level or slightly, you know, just beyond where you are right now, because those will be the people that push you and hold you to a higher standard. And then you have those friends that, drink once every, whatever, 3 months, 6 months, no problem.
Right. It goes back to like
healthy balance. It's just healthy balance. That's it at the end of the day.
So true. Do you find, I mean, because you talk to obviously a lot of successful people, but do you find that most successful people, maybe not where they are now, but originally where they started, they have a mentality that they can do it alone. You know, they're challengers or achievers. So they're often like, yeah, I'll figure it out. I know what I need to do. Like you just tend to be a little bit more independent if you're successful and you're achieving, but there's only so far that gets. I mean, do you find that in your experience when you talk to people?
Yes. I think because as you go and build something incredible, I think that you realize that a lot of people will let you down along the way. It's just, it happens. It's unfortunate. It happens, but people let you down. And the people that are the most successful just trust themselves and count on themselves to figure it out regardless of what happens. in their life. I think that the ability to trust yourself to figure it out is a superpower when it comes to building anything meaningful, because I am of the belief that if you commit 10 to 15 years to any single thing you're trying to figure out, you will be mm-hmm. some version of successful at it. If you're mm-hmm. smart, if you iterate, if you have feedback loops that sort of show you what's working and what's not, and then you act on those feedback loops and you improve, like over the course of 10 to 15 years, if you're just trying to figure it out yourself, you will be successful. So I think that counting on yourself and trusting yourself, it's a very solid business strategy. And if you can't count on yourself and you don't have that confidence, not only will you probably burn out and you won't maintain the doing of the thing for the period of time that it's required to actually turn it into something, I think it will also just sort of, it will also come out in your day to day. If you don't trust yourself, it'll be felt by your business partners, people you're trying to raise money from, your customers, and it'll actually like jeopardize all the outcomes that could have been positive, just because if you don't believe it, they're not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even let's like take it down a notch, not even somebody who's trying to build a business. Like if you're a salesperson and you don't believe in the product, very few people are nuts enough where they can actually sell a product that they don't believe in. I think it wears on your soul. Like it really wears on your soul to the point where it'll start to come out in your conversations. So mm-hmm. that's like on a very basic level, but in building a business, everything is sales anyways. You're selling your company to a new hire when you don't have a huge team. You're selling your company to investors. You're selling to customers. Like you have to believe in yourself and what you're doing. And I think that everybody who has built anything significant, they have a little bit of delusion in what they're building is going to change the world. I think you have to have a little bit of delusion, because mm-hmm. if you were too logical and you looked at like pure data, you would never build anything significant, because data shows that you have a significant chance of not building it. Like the mm-hmm. odds are always stacked against you. So you have to have this like delusional confidence in yourself. I can't remember who, I think it was Bezos. Let's just tie this to Bezos. He has a lot of good quotes. Like, it could have been him or someone else.
Because I'm really liking it. I love this quote. I'm like a little delusional.
No. It's the concept of when you're building anything, you have to believe that the decisions that you're making and the things that you're doing right now are correct based on all, and they could be incorrect in the future, but based on all the inputs and all the information and all the past experiences, what you're doing right now is the correct thing. And you have to believe that mm-hmm. because if you don't believe that what you're doing is the correct thing, you will never build anything significant, because it won't make sense to you. Your brain will hijack your success. So you need a little bit of delusional confidence in what you're building, in the decisions you make and who you are to make the call, to do the thing that's going to take the business or take you to the next level. So yes.
Yeah.
Long-winded answer, but self-confidence is the most important thing.
It is. It really is. But there's got to be some point, because you're even living this now, that mm-hmm. the achievers, the challengers, that success-oriented mindset that has been so independent hits a wall where they're like, I need people around me. I need community, you know, I can't do this alone type of thing mm-hmm. where you shift away from that independence to knowing that, like you said earlier, the people that are maybe a couple steps ahead of you or the people, you know, at the same place, that's going to make a drastic difference in your success.
Oh, of course it will. And by the way, even when you find those people, like obviously if you're building a company, you have to hire people that are smarter than sure. you. You have to hire A players. If you're looking for mentorship or guidance or just like a peer group, you're finding people that are slightly, but you still, and you like take in their wisdom and you take in mm-hmm. their experience, but you still can't let that self-confidence slide. Like if you look at even like, you know, Elon or Bezos or yeah. Zuckerberg, like they all have boards of incredibly brilliant people, but they still have faith in themselves. And I think mm-hmm. that's actually very important, because no matter what, you'll always have good advice and mentorship, but at the end of the day, you all, I think most people know what to do. I truly do believe that most people actually do know what to do. And what a mentor or an employee or someone that is maybe more advanced in one particular arena, what they're going to do is they're probably going to help you realize deep down what you already know you have to do and then hold you accountable to it. Sometimes that's not the case, but I think more often than not, when I talk to like even my mentors in my life, they're saying stuff that like I really know, but I don't want to hear it. And then they're forcing me to do it. And sometimes it's a new idea that I've never thought of before, of course. Yeah. But I think that more often than not, it's like a, hey, Scott, this is what you should have done. And I know it and I didn't do it. And then they highlight it. And I'm like, yes, okay, fine. Yeah. I'll do it. And then they ask me next time we go for coffee, it's not just confirming what I believe. It's next time we go for coffee. They're like, hey, Scott, why haven't you done that? Why haven't you done that yet? And then it's that accountability piece. It's accountability and growth, whether or not it's a personal trainer in the gym. That's the only reason why people really need them. You can Google every single piece of fitness or health or wellness advice. I can also, by the way, in 2024, I can Google or YouTube most business problems, especially at a smaller mid-sized level. There's some sort of very smart person teaching it over. So it's really about, you'll learn it and then you'll need somebody to hold you accountable.
Yeah. Do you find that there's a difference between the responsibility and accountability? Because I don't know, accountability to me gets a little bit like,
I don't know. Let's debate. I have no idea. I've never thought about that.
Responsibility versus
accountability.
Yeah. Okay. Like you got to have some, I think when you take your own responsibility, right, then you don't need as much accountability. And there's this fine line for me where sometimes I feel like people put so much weight in having that accountability partner that, well, wait, where's your own responsibility in it? So I'm just curious for you.
Well, I think there's like a base. I've never really thought through this responsibility versus accountability, but I think there's a baseline of responsibility that most successful people have that they hold themselves to. Like they are self-starting people and they'll build. And this is why you can talk about why I don't find motivation that useful. I find systems and processes very useful because they let you show up long after the motivation has disappeared. So I think that most successful people will have systems and processes that force them to be responsible about the thing they're trying to achieve, whether or not it's a business or fixing a marriage. Like I like to broaden the scope because I think that it's when you understand the habits that help you be successful in one arena, you realize that they're not so different in others. Fixing a marriage, building a better relationship with your kids, your parents, losing weight, whatever it is, you have a system if you're successful at it that will allow you to be successful. Like because a lot of the things that we do in life are not like fun. They're a difficult thing. So you have to have a system that supports it because if not, you're not going to do the thing. So whether or not it's, you know, going to bed at a certain time or only buying certain foods that you put in your fridge, if you're on some sort of weight loss or health and wellness journey, or, you know, you're fighting with your spouse all the time and you actually make effort to go see a therapist or go on date night more often. Or if you're trying to build a business and you block off time in your day for calls and then, You if you don't do those things, you don't take those steps, you're not going to do those things consistently. So I think that the systems and processes and habits, Atomic Habits is a great book because it sort of outlines this in a much more succinct way and thorough way. But that's what allows you to be successful. I think the systems and processes create responsibility. I think that that's like the baseline for success or in anything. Then I think that accountability for me are things that are not just, I can build systems and processes for routine things that I have to do that I know if I do them again and again and again and again over time, I'll get to a certain end result. I think that accountability for me is personally is most useful when there's a thing that I have to do that is not something that I normally have to do, like fire someone that shouldn't be in my company. That to me, hopefully for most people listening, is not a routine thing that you have to do. So if you're having a conversation about why your CMO is effing everything up and you're not firing them because you don't like having difficult conversations and you're worried about lawsuits or paying out severance that you can't afford, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think that that's where accountability for super mm-hmm. uncomfortable situations that can really move the needle that are not the norm, that could be helpful, because that's yeah. something that there's no amount of, there could be process around it, but it's probably not something that you have to do every single day.
Really. Great distinction.
So I would, that's how I would look at responsibility versus accountability.
Yeah, that's a really great distinction. I feel like sometimes people use the accountability as responsibility. You know, I need to make sure that somebody's like, you know, hold me accountable to.
And then you're trying to get somebody to, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like no one else should be running your basic life. I disagree with that.
It's like transfer of responsibility. No, you know, don't give that to, you know, your trainer or your coach or whatever. Like, you've got to take that responsibility. It's there to guide you. But yeah, so very, very interesting. So for you, you obviously I call you kind of obsessed with success.
That's a horrible tagline.
You think so? Obsessed with success?
I think, listen, whatever. I think it's just bad because I think that success is not success. Obsessed with success, I think, again, it goes back to people's incorrect understanding.
Yes.
Of what success is. So if you put that, you know, if you put that on a slide with my face, everyone's going to think that I'm like just trying to like chase after as much money as possible. Right. I think that that's probably not, because it's just how it's interpreted. But yes, I think that success across all areas of my life is something that is very important to me. Like, I am somebody that does sort of push for more all the time in everything, not just business. But I think that's a healthy attitude, because I think that humans were put on this earth to continue to grow. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, without the medical evidence to back it up, I mean, you see people after they retire, they start to go downhill quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So when you have no more purpose in life and you're not growing and you're not pushing yourself, I don't think that's the way people are supposed to live. So I think that if you aren't trying to, not even like by leaps and bounds, even incrementally growing, I think that's the healthiest way to live in everything, in career. And like, that's why, like, you know, when parents retire and you want them to do something that's going to challenge them still, not because you don't want them to be bored. Of course, being bored is not good, but I think that it helps you live longer.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own cost and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform: accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win: efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real, there are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.
To push yourself totally in a healthy way.
100%. I agree with that. And I'm laughing at you going like, what? Over the obsessed with success. I have to like condition that a little bit. Yes. And I mean it from the standpoint of like, not that you just always want to achieve and like you're obsessed with it and you leave everything else behind, that almost an obsession of understanding it, you know, and defining it. Success, I believe, is defined differently for every single person, right? Some people are out there defining it just by money. Some people are defining it by experiences they have with their family, how they live. But you have this like deep desire to understand it from different people's perspective, to understand the habits it takes, the all of that. That's the obsession I mean. And so like I'm curious, though.
I'll take that.
We'll make sure we get all of that in there, right? We won't just give you the tagline.
Deal.
Maybe it's obsessed with understanding success.
Well, I'll tell you, obsessed with success will get more clicks because they'll think I'm some asshole that just cares about money. But then they can go listen to the whole podcast. So that's fine.
We'll have that tagline, like, it's not what you think, right?
It's not what you, exactly.
Not what you think. I have to tune in. What sparked that for you?
I think that I was very obsessed with reverse engineering how people achieved where they were at. Because reverse engineering anything, fitness goals, business goals, relationship goals, I found that we put people on pedestals too often. And it could just be that I'm, again, a little bit delusional in my own ability. But I truly believe that if anybody has achieved anything by reverse engineering how they got there, you could achieve maybe not the same result because there's luck involved in a lot of these things. But luck only plays a certain piece of it. So if I reverse engineered, I'll give like a super like audacious, outlandish example. If I reverse engineered how Elon Musk is where he is right now, and we went through every single step of building every single company that he's ever built and every single investment that he made and every single relationship that he ever made and every single partner he pulled in or idea that he had or way that he looked at problems in the market, we understood all this, and there's going to be a lot there because it's a whole career that's turned him into this, I think at this today, the second richest person in the world, because I think Bernard Arnault is killing it with LVMH, but that's besides the point. if we reverse engineered everything and we tried to execute, I think that you would end up in a pretty damn good spot. You wouldn't be him because there's a lot of luck and timing involved, but you would have wealth beyond your wildest dreams and you would be probably land in a spot that's even a little bit less comfortable than not less comfortable. It would be an uncomfortable spot you would land in because of the business success that you had, probably more than you ever thought. I mean, like, I think you would build a multi-million dollar company in some capacity. And then you would probably build a second one because you would just follow the footsteps and you'd understand how he thinks and how he approaches problems and how he builds. And it's like, it's ridiculous to think until you actually break it all down. Kind of like if you look at a cover model on a fitness magazine and then you realize that they've been eating this and working out this much and doing these exercises and maybe doing these drugs, regardless of whether or not you like it, for the past 10 years. And if you emulated all those things for 10 years, and by the way, don't, because I don't think that a lot of fitness models are actually an epitome of health, but that's besides the point. If you did that, you would look pretty damn good. So I'm not saying that you'd be winning Mr. Olympia, but I'm saying that you'd look pretty good. So I don't think that life is as difficult as a lot of us think it is, because we see the end result and we have a hard time. From where we are to the end result is like, it's like gray box that we cannot see into, or the black box or whatever. We can't see into this, like this process. So I was obsessed with unpacking and reverse engineering how people got to where they are. Because I did it in my own life. It created a lot of great things in my own life. And then I was like, well, I'm a marketer. I know how to build an audience. Let me see if I can provide some value to the world through doing this and teaching people that are earlier on in their life how this person did this and reverse engineer that story. And hopefully that hits home with somebody who's earlier on in their career. And as opposed to looking at their career like this, like black box that they can't see the end, they can now see how founder of Netflix or founder of Reebok or whoever, pick a name. Those are obviously two very impressive ones because I'm plugging my podcast, but you pick someone. And then you can see that, okay, they achieved this, but like the steps are there. So let's just like start on step one, because that's what I did in my own life. This is the playbook that I used for my own health and wellness, my own relationship, my own businesses, and it's worked. I mean, I'm not Elon Musk, but it's done okay. So I think that that's a lens that I wish more people would look at life through.
But. It makes it very kind of, what's the right word I'm looking for? Like actionable, you know, all of a sudden now you have like steps and systems and processes instead of this big gaping hole between you and what you want. Okay. So personal question here, was there somebody in particular that you reverse engineered and was like, yeah, I'm going to do that, you know?
Not one person. Like literally, like I do it at everything I take on in life. I apply this. When I was first getting into like working out, like I can't even remember who would be now. It wouldn't even be like a celebrity. It'd be like somebody who looked significantly better than me at a gym. And I would just talk to them about what they're doing and map that out and execute and see if it was getting me the results that I'd want. Like I would do this when I was working for a company. I would have these conversations about like, you know, like step-by-step career path with my VPs and my directors to understand how they got from entry level to where they're at and how long it took them. And is there any other strategy to sort of like shorten that time gap? When I, you know, I'm talking about health, career, when I'm trying to build out a social strategy for a podcast or for Twitter or for LinkedIn or for Instagram or for TikTok, I will go to the person that is killing it on that platform in my niche. And I will look at how they create content and I will look at historically how their content has grown. So I'll find somebody on Twitter that I really like that has the same type of audience that I want to tap into. And I'll reverse engineer like the type of content they put out and the format and structure of their posts and how often they post and what time of day they post and what do they speak about and what gets the most engagement. So it's like, you just apply this quite literally everything and you'll have at least a great starting, like a starting spot for taking on that particular project or trying to figure out that particular thing. So yeah, I do it consistently whenever I'm trying to do something for the first time. And then I'll, that's my avatar. That's my, like some people that I reverse engineer, they don't even know me. It's just, I'm just learning from, right. I don't need permission to study someone's work online. I don't need permission to do that. So I'll just unpack what they've done. And that's where I start from. And then again, you understand, is it working for you? Is it giving you the results you want? Obviously, it's never like a perfect playbook, but it's better than just starting with no knowledge. And I always found that to be the most natural way to start anything in life. And it's strange to me that people start a new, like, again, if you want to start posting, a very basic example, start posting on Twitter, start losing weight. It's strange to me that people don't do this actually. Mm-hmm. That people, I think it's ego. I think that people don't want to admit they don't know something. So they'll just try their own version of it for way too long until they realize that it sucks. And then they'll be like, you know what? Maybe I should learn from someone. For me, it was the opposite. For me, it's like day zero, there's no ego. Like I know that I know nothing and I don't want, I'm all about time. Like I don't want to waste time pretending that I know something. So why would I bother pretending that I know how to tweet or pretending that I know how to diet so that I look like that guy? I don't want to waste time. Just like, tell me right now. And if you don't tell me, then I'll figure it out myself. And I'll talk to enough people till I get at least like this, like baseline. But I think it's all ego.
That's what people, the way you say that. Tell me right now.
Yeah. No, I don't want to waste time.
the funny thing, I was writing some notes down when you were saying that. And the first thing that came to my mind was like, what the process you're talking about, you have to have an immense amount of like vulnerability and curiosity, like drop the ego and just be curious. And that's what gets in people's way is, you know, they don't want to ask a question because then it means they don't know. And, you know,
but it gets in everyone's way. I bring it back to like, I'm a marketer, so I bring it back to social a lot. And look at what Duolingo did. You know, like, I don't know how deep you are into social, but Duolingo is like a language translation app and they have this ridiculous TikTok and they've won marketing awards for how much they kill it. And they do these ridiculous skits that are like mega inappropriate. It's doing very well for them. Basically they're killing it. People know the stupid green Duolingo owl that does ridiculous stuff in the office. And it's just fun. How many companies after being around social with multi hundreds of million dollar marketing budgets still post like the worst shit online that makes you never want to interact with them ever.
Right.
Like, how does this exist in real life? How does this exist when you have a 1,000-person marketing department that you still don't understand that you have to be a more approachable brand, that you can create content that isn't like boilerplate, boring, like putting people to sleep. It's just, I don't understand it. And maybe in some industries, it's like a regulatory compliance. We don't want to get sued for saying the wrong thing, but I don't think that's every, well, I know it's not every industry. So some people choose to be boring because they don't want to switch it up or they don't want to admit they don't know what they're doing or they don't want to try something that's new and novel. But I mean, that's how you win in life, in business, at a corporate level, at a personal level. Mm-hmm. Like you have to humble yourself. And the CMO that has 40 years of experience that can't humble themselves to try how to figure out TikTok, yeah, they're going to be okay for now because they're probably doing like whatever X billions of dollars in revenue. But I mean, also like Blockbuster, like the taxi industry, like you can name companies that were completely displaced because they did not stay with what the times. Right. And that there's a lot of product issues with companies that were basically wiped out. But also it comes down to how do you stay relevant and how do you stay top of mind when there's going to be some incumbent at some point that will be more fun, tap into a younger generation. I don't know. I think that it's something that people have to work on.
I love that. Yeah, you got to be humbled. It really is. And there's that fine line, too, I think, for some people where it's like, well, I don't want to copy somebody. And there's the middle ground of like not copying exactly who they are, but definitely using a process, a system that has already been proven that works.
But it's like that's a saying too, like great artists steal, right? They steal and they interpret it into their own version. And I would rather some of these companies copy to a degree than put out some of the stuff that they do. And even like if you're whatever, like copy at the beginning, like it's still better than the shit that you're doing. I mean, really, and then you'll learn and you're going to evolve and it's going to turn into your own thing. But yeah, I think people have to humble themselves and stop pretending that they know what they don't know.
I think that's like the biggest takeaway and that people need to hear through this podcast, that other than the fact that you're obsessed with success, is that they need to humble themselves.
Yes. And it's not like a one-time thing, right? Like it's very easy to feel like you know what you're doing. And it's very easy to sort of tune out outside noise. And all these lessons that I talk about are not lessons that are permanently cemented in my mind and I'm perfect all the time. I mean, like there's things that I could learn about my podcast from you and from literally everyone else that does a podcast, even though mine is doing okay and it's doing well, it's not the best. And even if it was the best at one point, it won't be the best for forever. So it's just like, it's changing how you look at your own success, changing how you look at your own, the milestones that you hit, and that you have to understand that nothing is permanent. Yeah. And if you approach life through that lens, then I think you will be a better person because you will always be looking to learn and to be curious and to upskill and to grow, even if you're at close to the top of your game, which I don't pretend like there's like, you know, look at the Lewis Houses and the Tom Billiouses and the Tim Ferrisses. Like there's always more levels. And then, you know, even them, I'm sure there's going to be another podcast, hopefully mine, maybe someone else's in 10 years, that is going to be even more recognizable than all those names. So you just got to,
always evolving. And as you were saying that, I was like, you know, you just have this real love of learning that you exude. And that's, I think, where people need to focus.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I want to kind of wrap up and ask you something. You talked to so many, I mean, how many podcasts have you done?
I've done about 400 interviews and then I've done, I don't know, another 60-ish solo pieces. Like pushing about 500-ish.
So that's a lot of conversations you've had, a lot of people that you have reverse engineered and kind of looked at their process. Cause I think it takes a certain eye, like you have a talent for this. Most people, not everybody has that. So as you're doing that, are there certain things, like maybe one, two, three, you tell me, what are the commonalities that you constantly see as you're talking to these people in reverse engineering that the people listening are going, okay, that's part of this success plan?
We touched on one, the ultimate belief in yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is across every single individual. I think that's probably the number, even if they're not aware of it, that's the number one thing that drives their success.
Okay.
What else is a commonality? Belief in yourself. We touched on them all. Okay. So I'll recap, because we have touched on a lot of the ones that are actually very important. They build systems. So they build systems around everything in their life so that they don't drop the ball. Like, it's impossible to drop the ball when you build systems, whether or not it's people or it's setting up time for this, that, or the other. Like, you build systems so that you're successful. Because if you do not have systems in place, again, we're humans. We're so messy, and it's so difficult for us to accomplish anything without building a framework around us, because we are like hedonistic creatures, the majority of us, and we look for pleasure and we avoid pain. And building anything significant will take a significant amount of pain, not physical, hopefully, but like stress. But maybe if you're working out, I don't know, there's some physical pain there, but outside of that, it's going to take a lot of energy. Yeah, exactly. So I would say systems are probably the second most important thing. So self-belief, systems. I mean, if you just apply those two things already, you're going to be killing it.
There you go. Yeah. Love that.
I'm trying to think of anything else. I'm trying to think of anything else.
Well, the curiosity, I mean, that is one of my
curiosity is big.
Do you feel like that shows up? That's a common theme in a lot of the successful
curiosity
people.
Is huge. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of something we didn't just talk about for the past 45 minutes, but I think we actually touched on these things organically already. Curiosity is huge, because curiosity is then tied to removing your own ego and figuring things out. And like, I mean, some people will say they're self-made, but nobody's self-made, obviously. There's no such thing as a self-made person. Even somebody who built their own company from scratch, didn't take any on outside money, and just grew it to whatever, pick any number. They're still not self-made. I mean, whether or not it was employees or partners or mentors or advisors, like, it's, yeah, you gotta remove your ego. Even the people that are at the top, that they seem to have an ego, they have an ego maybe as a public persona, but I can guarantee you when they're in the rooms with the right people that they know can help them along, that ego's gone. So you pick the most ego-driven entrepreneur that you can think of, and in the right room with the right person, there is no ego, because with ego, there wouldn't be a business, because you never listen to anyone and you can't be an expert in everything.
That's so interesting you brought that up, because we can all think of certain names, right?
Of course we can.
People go, oh God, he's got such an ego, you know, but maybe that's the TV persona, you know, or the...
It's a persona. It's a persona because I think that in most things that person or persons, they're incredibly proficient. But think about some of the things that these people do. They don't know how to do these things themselves. Like, they don't. So whether or not it, you know, doesn't matter who the people are, doesn't matter. Like, there will always be somebody that is going to be far superior to them at what they're good at. And when those two people sit across the table from each other, there's zero ego. Because if there was an ego, there's challenge. Challenge is fine, but challenge is not ego. Challenge is when two incredible people push each other to be better, which is normal. But ego, in my mind, is like negating other opinion because you think that you know better. I mean, you think about what some of these people have built, it would never have happened ever.
Right. Gosh, I love that. That is a really, really good distinction. And it almost makes me think that you can have ego, you know, you can, like almost what you were saying earlier, you kind of have to be a little delusional in what you believe and your confidence, but you can have that in certain areas. But when it comes to the areas that you don't know, expanding and growing, you really have to let that go.
Yeah. And I don't even like ego. I mean, like, you can have confidence. I think ego is more of a negative personality trait. Like, confidence and delusion in your own abilities is fine to a degree. I think ego, that's more internal, whereas ego is something that like reflects outward. And I think that is like a not positive personality trait. I'm sure some psychologists could probably, you know, paint a much better picture of what ego is and what it isn't.
Right.
But I think that confidence and slight delusion and belief in yourself is fine. But I think that if you ever make somebody feel less than, that's a you issue. You're just a mm-hmm. dick. But still, that has to, if you do want to build something huge, if you are that kind of person who is very much full of themselves, I mean, there's a cap on what you can build.
100%.
You don't know everything.
Yeah. And that's why you see people surrounding themselves. And I do want to ask you about it, because I really don't know much about it. Your social club. I mean, that you're surrounding yourself with people. Yeah, well,
that is kind of it. It's a membership. It's a private members club of people that have sold businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's what I build right now. That's what I enjoy. We put on a whole bunch of events for exited entrepreneurs, and it is. And by the way, there's no ego in that room at all. I have no idea if in some of these people's lives, I would hope not, because I don't want to bring people that are like that into my circle. But in that room in particular, I guess because everybody knows that everybody's achieved something, there's absolutely no ego at all. So everybody's there to learn.
Great place to be.
It is a great place to be. It's all smart people that have sold businesses that are sort of looking for the next thing in their life. Some are building mm-hmm. their second business. Some are investing. The best way to describe it to a listener is it would be similar to YPO, but after you've sold. It's the easiest way to describe it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, this is my business outside of the podcast. And it's probably one of the more fun businesses that I've ever built. Not to say that software isn't fun too, but mm-hmm. this is like a very human business.
Right. I was going to say it's people. So that's really awesome. People, and yeah. I know that people listening now are like, oh, I haven't sold my business yet. So I want to point them to listen to Scott's podcast. Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, like we have a lot of events for people that are still. So obviously, yes, the core group are people that have sold their business. I just moved down from Toronto to Miami. Mm-hmm. No, Fort Lauderdale, but Miami, same difference. Except if you ask anybody from Fort Lauderdale, Miami, I'm probably going to get shit on for saying it's the same thing. They're very particular about Broward versus Dade, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is, from a Canadian's perspective, it's just an hour and a half on the I-95, which is far too long anyways. But I'm very focused on building out like the startup scene in South Florida. So I try and engage with as many early stage, mid stage entrepreneurs as possible. We still put on events for people that are mm-hmm. like building right now. And if we're not putting on an event, I'm so tied into like the South Florida tech entrepreneur scene. If somebody is in the area, I'll find an event put on by somebody that I know that they'd probably appreciate. So if somebody mm-hmm. is like in build mode and they just want to network with awesome entrepreneurs, you can DM, hit me up, whatever, LinkedIn, Instagram, and I'll always find something interesting for you to go out to, even if it's not something that I'm putting on. Because again, whenever I move down to a city, it's not just what I'm building on. I've had a lot of fun like building in the startup community. And it's not like I get paid. Like I've done I've done stuff with like Futurepreneur. I've done stuff with startup incubators up in Canada. For me, it's just fun. It's a fun environment. Mm-hmm. The people that build are my kind of people. So it's just, it's nice to be in the right rooms. Even if you have an exit, it doesn't really mean anything. You're still an incredibly, you know, probably brave and audacious and brilliant and driven person. I mean, those are the people that you want to hang out with.
Absolutely. So that's what I kind of want to wrap up with here, is encouraging people to, you have a couple different places where they can tune into you, and you heard them, whether you've already exited your business or even if you haven't, but turn that build up, DM, mm-hmm. Find Scott online. Also, you know, follow the podcast, the Success Story. I mean, it's one of the top 10 podcasts out there. And you guys have a sample of like what he's talking about. I mean, he's showing you his gift of reverse engineering people and sharing their success. So tune into that. And then you've got a newsletter too with hundreds mm-hmm. of thousands of people that follow along. So where's the best place? Yeah. Where's the best place for people to sign up for the newsletter?
You can, if you want the domains, it's,
well, I'll put it in the show notes. It's right on your main website, right?
It is. Yeah. So we got Scott, scottdclary.com.
Yep.
I mean, it's like newsletter.scottdclary.com, all the socials at Scott D. Clary. You can find me. You type in Scott. So I got all the same handles, which is where the middle initial comes from. So if you do Scott D. Clary on Google, you'll find all the stuff.
There's a ton of links with you out there. So sure. People will go down a rabbit hole for sure.
Sounds good.
But awesome. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing your definition of success, Scott, and what pleasure. You see in other people as well. It's been really fun having you.
Thank you for having me on.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.